The sermon is only going to be in English today. I was a guest preacher at a sister church in Columbia one time and preached as the guest preacher, and it was done bilingual, so I preached and then the person preached. It's kind of interesting. It doubles the length of the sermon, which I'm sure no one's in favor of. It's also kind of weird preaching and then wondering if the person's actually saying what you wanted them to say. But we turn now to God's Word in 1 Chronicles, the 29th verse chapter. Listen for God's Word. "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to make this free will offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are aliens and transients before you, as were all our ancestors. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you search the heart and take pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things, and now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our ancestors, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts towards you. Grant to my son Solomon that with single mind he may keep your commandments, your decrees, and your statutes, performing all of them, and that he may build the temple for which I have made provision." Then David said to the whole assembly, "Bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and the king. On the next day they offered sacrifices and burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs with their libations and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great joy." The word of the Lord. We continue moving through the G's the stewardship committee gave us. We began, if you remember, a few weeks ago with grace. Last week, gratitude. This week, giving. As I was reflecting on giving, I was thinking of the ways in which giving reminds us of things. Like when we read in Paul's letter the collection he took up among the early churches for the saints back in Jerusalem. They needed the support, the financial support, but the collection was also a reminder to them that God's people elsewhere cared about them and were invested in them. So this morning I offer to you 4 stories of giving reminders. They're short stories, so don't panic. The first story is straight from 1 Chronicles, a part of King David's blessing for God. King David is making a free will offering for the building of the temple and exhorting and indeed celebrating the Israelites as they do the same. Remember, King David is not going to build the temple. God has denied him that opportunity, but David will make his gift anyway. Freely and joyously for a project that at that moment he doesn't even know if he'll ever see. In fact, he's pretty sure he won't. But King David wanted to give back to God in response for all that God had given him. A giving reminder. The power of giving is often found in the act of giving itself, not just in what they do with the gift. Second story, straight from the novelist Nicholas Sparks' book, The Longest Ride. Spoiler alert, if you haven't read it and you're going to, I'm about to ruin that opportunity for you. But the good news is he's written a lot of books, and critics say they're all about the same, so just read another one of them. The Longest Ride is the story of 2 love stories that are intertwined. a young couple, Luke and Sophia, and an older couple, as shared to them by the husband, Ira, who is alive, and his wife, Ruth, who has died previously. Ruth and Ira could not have children, but their love overcame this disappointment, and they poured their energy and money into building a magnificent art collection, which was Ruth's passion, one of her great loves. And part of the story, their part of the story, is about the love that they shared and how it grew and how it came to rest in many ways in this art collection they built together. After Ruth's death, as Ira contemplates his own death, he asked the question, how can I make people understand how much I loved my wife, Ruth? He puts the question in the context of their art collection when he writes, more than anything, I want you to understand this simple truth. Though the art is beautiful and valuable almost beyond measure, I would have traded it all for just one more day with the wife I always adored. How can I make all of you believe that I would have done such a thing? How can I convince you I cared nothing about the commercial value of the art? How can I prove to you how special Ruth really was to me? How will you never forget that my love of her was at the heart of every piece we ever purchased? He finds a way to answer his question. At his death, his will dictates that the entire collection of paintings is auctioned. Art dealers from around the world show up. It's a magnificent, valuable collection. Art critics love the paintings, except for one. One was a crude portrait of his wife, Ruth. It had been painted by a young man whom she had taught and really cared for earlier in life. He was not an artist, but he painted her portrait because he loved her and loved his memory of her. So the auction begins. The first painting is this crude painting that has almost no value. It has no value except to Luke, the younger man who, as he watches the price drop and drop as no one bids, remembers the love Ira had for his wife Ruth and wanted to honor that love. So he's the only bidder at $400. A lot for the painting, perhaps, but a pittance compared to the value of any other painting. He's the high. He's the low. He's the only bidder. And then, after the sale, the auction is interrupted, and Ira's final instructions are read. Whoever bought the portrait of his wife, the one whom he loved beyond all measure, receives the gift of the entire collection. Giving reminder. We give to show others what we value. We give because of what we value. Third story, a young couple in the congregation I served in Ohio. Well, they're not a young couple anymore because I was a young couple when they were a young couple. They were new members. I was fairly new in the congregation. I'd met with the stewardship committee and I shared my brilliance, my knowledge about stewardship things. We can save some money, don't give out offering envelopes to newer members because they're all younger and the next generation doesn't need envelopes. They have other ways of giving. They're not bothered by those old-fashioned offering envelopes. So we didn't give them out. About a month after, he comes into my office. Richard, how come I haven't gotten any offering envelopes? Well, you don't really want them, do you? Don't feel obligated to use them just because you think you're supposed to. I know, we're that next generation. We don't need offering envelopes. We can use the bank to do it. We can drop off checks. We can send them in by the mail. We can do all sorts of things. Well, he said, I grew up at my house and my parents had offering envelopes and they left them on their desk and every week they'd put a check in and take it to church. And that's kind of how I learned about giving. And well, I want offering envelopes because I want my kids to see me put checks in the envelope and then turn them in. That's how I'm going to teach them to give. So can I get some offering envelopes? Okay. Giving reminder. It doesn't have to be an offering envelope. But we give to model and teach others the importance of giving. Fourth story comes right from our Lord's table. God's giving reminder to us. Come to the Lord's table this morning and be reminded of the gift-giving God who invites us to the table to receive the gift of hope and promise given to us by God's very own Son, Jesus Christ. Eat and drink and remember the gift given for you. Recognize in the variety of the breads the God whose giving is not bound by our table or our sanctuary, but whose gifts are for all creation. Giving reminder. Our giving begins with our gift-giving God. Fifth story. Don't ever believe a minister when they say four. It's your story of gift-giving reminders. How you live it out. What are you saying with your giving? Amen.